I know we were really passionate about like people successfully accomplishing what they want to do. You know, that this is not just about like making money or making sales. This is about actually accomplishing the goal together with them. So for us, we feel, you know, if someone hasn't, you know, written their book when that's the goal they set out to do, we take that on as, wait, no, this is not okay. We will go above and beyond of reaching out, trying to give them more support, because the point isn't to make money. The point is to, you know, accomplish these goals and get information out into the world that it needs.
Welcome to Beyond Better, a podcast that explores a simple but profound idea. We all deserve to live lives we love, and that includes our work lives too. I'm your host, Stacey Ennis, an author, book coach, speaker, and longtime location independent entrepreneur living in Portugal with my family of four. Years ago, I was living in Idaho and dreaming of more for my life. And today I am living a life of my own design. Join me as I talk business, location independence, writing, publishing, and so much more, all focused on building a life that is beyond better. Welcome, welcome. I am really excited to kick off season five. This is a really special episode because we have two people on the team here, one all the way from the United States and the other that lives here in Portugal, really close to me, at least for now, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And so I'd love to introduce you to these two amazing people, and then we're going to just have a conversation about working together as a team, creating content, serving clients, working in publishing, just kind of this whole world that we're in. So I'll start with Catherine. If you're on YouTube, you can see she's right here, the amazing Catherine Fishman. Catherine is a systems savvy operations coordinator who geeks out on Asana, loves connecting with aspiring authors, and has innate, well-developed understanding of the book writing process. She has a love of systems and everything efficiency, and her expertise is in planning, strategizing, and executing complex projects. Catherine joined the team in 2017, right before we left, moved to Thailand, so a whirlwind time, and is really an integral part of client and student success and making sure the team runs efficiently. Catherine kind of lives in Portland, which we'll talk about later, but has been having this amazing European adventure. And then there is Rita Dominguez. Rita is an artist who's passionate about the creative process. She uses her creativity and eye for design as my social media manager and marketing coordinator. She is currently studying graphic design at the Lisbon School of Design. And in her free time, you can find her soaking up the sun and exploring her home country of Portugal. So welcome.
Yay.
So yesterday was the first time that we got to actually be together, all three of us in person. While my family was in the US, you guys were able to connect because Catherine stayed at our house, and you guys were able to connect in Portugal. But tell me a little bit about like what it was like for you two to meet before we all three got to meet, and then I'll tell you a little bit about my thoughts when I got time with you together yesterday. You want to kick it off?
Yeah, it was kind of strange because you know each other for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
On the screen, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, you're real! Like we're here, and yeah, we just we hit it off really well, and it was amazing to be able to work together, and the productivity was awesome, and yeah, it was all good things to say. So.
Yeah, it is weird when you have, I mean, because you've now known Catherine for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And you and I get to work together all the time because we currently live 5 minutes from each other.
Right.
But like, it is kind of weird when you just know somebody on the screen and then, you know, it's like, oh, you actually have a body.
I know. Like, that was, we're like, you know, hugged each other. We hugged each other and we're like, oh no, we're real. Like, there's a person here. So yeah, that was super fun.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fun. How about you? What was your feeling or impression?
Yeah, I think when you like if you haven't met each other offline, there's like a certain kind of online persona that just is natural, I think, for everyone to have, right? Like you can't utilize your whole body to express yourself and, you know, it's confined to this work environment. And then to like be out and about and walking and talking and, you know, having leisure time.
Yeah.
For me was like, yeah, being able to see the whole person. And now what I feel is that it's just going to like inform and make the work that we do even better and like more efficient and more fun because we have this like dynamic that has the context of like real in-person interaction. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I think it does. It's something, it's interesting because I've worked with a lot of people solely online and I'm like,
yeah.
What maybe was missing, you know, just as a little spark that I think now will be there because we've met.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I definitely need that human connection for sure. And I think, like you said, it will really help like for the future of the work that we're doing together and just like building that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Yeah.
It's so important. And I think the last time I saw you, I was trying to think if it was in Seattle. It
would
have been 2019, maybe 2019. It would have been 2019, I think. 2018, okay. Well, it's been a while. And so, of course, like we meet weekly, we're constantly in contact. But yeah, it was amazing for me when I saw you yesterday and I was like, oh, this is just so wonderful.
Yeah.
We were able to have breakfast together and then we had a strategy session. And I feel like we had a lot of fun and we did chit chat a lot in our strategy session. But we like, I think we made this one big identification piece of the brand that I think we've been struggling to find for a long time, but just being together. And I think us, like you would say something and I would jump in and then Catherine would be like, well, wait a second. And then we would, you know, there wasn't the Zoom lag. I think it like let us be real with each other and
right.
like more present.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
And I think, you know, it's just absolutely insane to think about being on Zoom more than 2 hours, right?
I know.
But
yeah.
For us to be able to be in person, take a walk after working 2 hours and come back. And of course, like I'm big on walking gets ideas flowing and breakthroughs happen after that, you know? So to have that too together, right? That to me felt really special because you can't get that, you know, with Zoom. You go on a walk, you're talking with each other, whether it's even about business or not, it's like you're still in that mode, like your brains are syncing up and then you get back and it's like, okay, dig back in, chew on this stuff. And yeah, I feel like we were able to accomplish what maybe would have taken months, you know, through online back and forth. And, you know, we got this like intensive and it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. So I'd love to hear your perspectives on this, but I've been reflecting a lot this last month being in Idaho on just how I work in the world and what I enjoy and what I don't enjoy. And I think now I've been in business for nearly 14 years. And I think in the beginning when I was just a solopreneur and I didn't have my sights set on where I am now, I just was like crafting a business and I wanted to replace my income as a teacher. I was pretty happy just being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I've gotten a little bored of that over time, even though when it comes to writing and creativity, like I cannot have any sound. I need complete silence and no distractions. But when it comes to all of the other work that I do, just the things that I'm, I don't know, like emailing, I would rather sit alongside other people who are emailing, you know, so that we're just kind of like in a space together. I was working a little bit at a co-working space over my month off. I worked 2 days and I loved it. Like I took a lunch break and I sat at a table with people and we chatted and it was really nice. So I'm curious to hear, I know you're in about to go into kind of a life transition. So we can hear about that in a moment too and how you're thinking about that. But I also know that you have very much been in that space of like being alone a lot while you're working. And now you're on this kind of like explorative life adventure, which I'd love you to talk a little bit about. Like, what realizations have you had about your own work and the way that you communicate with other people and like form community and like want to be in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how has that shifted for you as you've gotten older, as you've traveled? Like, tell me a little bit about
that. Yeah, funny you should ask because I was just writing about this morning in my journal. That's one thing I've been doing is journaling every day while I've been traveling the last 4 weeks, I guess. And that's exactly what I've been thinking about. And I think, you know, like you had mentioned in the beginning, when you're trying to get into your flow and make this thing work and, you know, be serious about it, I think having alone time like is really helpful. But then once that becomes more of a default and you're used to it, and that itself is not new, I think, yeah, it can get a little boring. Like you crave that in person. And so what I was writing about today was, you know, I'm realizing like I need, wherever I'm going to be, if I continue this like remote work, I need to organize it so that I'm in a co-working space. And I was thinking about how, you know, if you've ever been to a yoga class or a meditation class, it is so much easier to get into meditation if you're around other people, right? And I think there's a similar thing at play when you're working around other people. I know I felt it with Rena and I, like, I was like, I can keep going, you know, whereas at home, I'll be like, okay, 90 minutes, I need to like get off my computer, I need to go walk, you know, because I think you're intersplicing conversation and like having those little mini breaks that allow your brain to like shift away from the screen for a little bit and then come back, and all of that, you know, even if at a co-working space, you're observing your environment, that is like input that is stimulating your brain in a different way, kind of thinking about this, how do I want to phrase it, you know? So I think that's much different than like looking at the wall behind your monitor.
Yes. Yeah, and my Taylor Swift albums only go so far for stimulation, you know?
Yeah. So I'm thinking about how I think community, this has been in my personal life, realizing like, that cannot be replaced. That cannot be something that you get solely online. I think we are people, we are physical beings that need to have that physical aspect in some way, shape, or form. So I'm, you know, going from this end of, you know, when COVID started, everyone was like, this is crazy. We're all at home. And now it's like, this is my life.
This is like literally what I've been doing for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
12 years.
Yeah. And now coming out COVID, I'm like, I think I need a change. And I think I need to make sure to give myself that in-person element, however that may look. I don't even necessarily need to be talking to other people, although that will naturally happen if you're around them. But yeah, I see in my life, you know, trying to figure out, I was living in Portland for a while and now I'm kind of in between. I'm on this European adventure and trying to choose where I will go next. And I think that's going to be a piece that is going to help me determine where I want to go. I would like there to be kind of a community established, or at least access to something like that where I can work with other people and like-minded people doing similar things who like to be efficient in community.
Yeah, I love all that. And those are some of the realizations that I've had too. It's like, just because something has worked really well for a long time, it doesn't mean there's not a better way, right, to do it. I know you are about to have also a total life upheaval. It's like a theme, I think, on the team. Tell us a little bit about kind of where you're at now and what your next steps look like as you move into design school. Mm-hmm. And what do you kind of envision shifting and changing for you and how you work?
Yeah, well, just going back on what Catherine was saying about the community sense, and, you know, you've had that realization as well while you were at home and in the co-working space. It's been kind of feeling the same for me the last couple of months. It's like that struggling of like, okay, I'm at home and this is great, but you're like distracted and you like crave that in person, you know, communicating with each other and just like having those little breaks, like you were saying. So it's funny that I feel like we're all on that same boat right now. And, you know, hopefully Catherine can come join us in Europe so we can do this more often.
That's our hope, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Porto, Rita's going
to
Porto.
So. Yeah. So yeah, I'm about to go to Porto in just a little over 2 weeks. It's kind of terrifying, but really exciting.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so happy for you, but I'm so sad because I love like our dynamic. I love having you here to work with. And I know for us, it's going to be an adjustment because we've got to figure out how are we going to still meet on a like, you know, somewhat regular basis. We have Web Summit coming up in November, so we'll be there.
That'll be exciting.
But you're also going to be adding school to your life, which it'll be interesting because you're going to have a lot of community and like you might be craving actually some of that quiet space.
I guess maybe it will be an adjustment for sure. It's been like, I don't know, 8 years since I last was in school. So it will be like a big adjustment. But I think, I don't know, like for me, one of the things, especially as a creative, is like the fact that I'm going to be in a different city, like surrounded by, you know, just different things like coffee shops, like different supermarket, different ways that you welcome different people. That I think that would really help with like the creativity side that I will need for my course. And yeah, to your point, I think having my own time to be able to work by myself will be very good to balance that too. But I don't know, it will be an experiment. Maybe we can have this conversation again in a month and see how it's going. But yeah, it's an exciting journey. And I'm really sad that, you know, we're not going to see each other every week and get to work together, but we'll definitely like catch up. I feel like at least every like couple of months,
yeah,
with me coming down here. And
it's such a tiny country too.
It is. It's not even an hour flight.
I know. I don't think people realize how small Portugal is, because you can drive, I think, from the bottom to the top in like six and a half hours.
About. Yeah.
I mean,
which is the same distance from Portland, where I live, back to Boise.
Wow.
Yeah,
exactly.
That is nice.
And like our family vacations, normally we would drive and it would take like 8 to 9 hours to get to the coast, you know? So it just is like nothing to Americans. It's like,
yeah,
the whole country.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
Crazy.
Yeah, but we'll just keep, you know, hanging out with each other every time we can. And like you said, we've got Web Summit to look forward to. So
yeah,
that'll be November.
Yeah, that's cool. So, that's going to be a really fun experience.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a massive conference. So I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Over in Lisbon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Lisbon.
Yes,
that's
in Lisbon.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about just our work with clients, because I tell people this all the time, but I think that they think I'm being hyperbolic, but like, I really think that we have like the best clients in the world. Like, they are amazing. And I think that part of what makes them so great is they all have, well, one of our criteria for working with people is that they put good into the world. So I think that just kind of naturally brings us people that are like big hearted. They care about making the world a better place. And that takes a lot of different shapes. It might be a social equity project, or it might be a leadership book, or they might have an expertise in health and wellness that can make people's lives better. But I'd love to hear a little bit from you both on just what the experience has been like for you working with our clients. What have you noticed about them? And maybe we'll start with you, Rita. Like, what has been your kind of overall sentiment as you've gotten to know the people that we support?
For me, it's been super inspiring.
Yeah.
Especially coming from a hospitality background where, you know, you're still like, you've got that contact with people, and like you hear the stories, and you know, but it's a very short interaction, right? And getting to know the clients and their stories and their books, it's so inspiring to just keep doing the work that you are doing and like helping you to achieve all these great things, and for them to publish their books, or you know, it's just so amazing and inspiring. And it has been huge for me, for example, taking the step to like wanting to go to school and like do better for myself and become a better professional. It comes a lot from like being inspired by the clients of, we want to be better. We want to do better for the world. And yeah, this has been my overall experience. And I'm just so happy that we get to do that every day, you know?
Yeah. It's like I look forward to talking to them, right? Whereas like I hear from a lot of friends and colleagues that they'll tell me these horror stories, or, you know, they'll be like, oh, I've got this pain client that like, they're just so frustrating. And I'm like, oh, that stinks, but like mine are amazing. You know, generally across the board, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah. I think because you always have this sentiment of, it's not just you are the suitable person for them, but they're also the suitable person for you, right? You have to have that connection with your clients. And I think that's huge in any business, and probably why the success, and like, you know, we're just like, our clients are great.
Yeah.
Because having that, you know, that mutual connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we've learned a lot about just the vetting process, and it's never a judgment on the person or their project, right? But it's like, now that we have all these steps that we say, okay, this is a red flag to us because it doesn't align with our values. Or like, even when I was on vacation, we had a number of applications that came into the program that I'm running this fall. And again, no judgment on them, no judgment on their book, but it was like a pretty instant, not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to tell them like, thank you so much. And we always try to give them a referral on, but like, we're so selective about the people that we take on. And it's like a very much like an abundance mindset. We never go into one thinking like, oh, I have to get this client. It's like, does this fully align?
Yeah.
I think that's been a journey though,
yes,
over time.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about your own experience and kind of like maybe some of the things that we've learned along the way in creating the dynamic that we've created, maybe even in the programs, like the,
yeah,
just gorgeous atmosphere in the programs,
yeah,
are just,
yeah,
incredible.
I think a couple things come to mind for me. One is this sense of clarity, like even if it's not in the specifics, but at all the clients, I think we, you know, whether we've been aware of it or not, what the people who thrive are and the people that tend to like really resonate are people who have a really clear vision of what they want. They may not have a super clear vision of the specifics, and that's where we come in,
yes,
right? But
yes,
they are focused and they have something that they're really trying to accomplish. It's not this nebulous like thing. And for me, Rita talked about it being inspiring. I am so inspired by that. To me, you know, being in an environment where that's the norm for people is, you know, you are like the people that you spend time with. So I've taken that to be like, oh yeah, of course you have to have that. Like, where are you going? How do you know where you're going to go if you don't know where you're going or how to get there? You know, that saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that just being the foundation on which they start is, to me, feels number one. And then it has been a process because I know we were really passionate about like people successfully accomplishing what they want to do. You know, that this is not just about like making money or making sales. This is about actually accomplishing the goal together with them. So for us, we feel, you know, if someone hasn't, you know, written their book when that's the goal they set out to do, we take that on as, wait, no, this is not okay. We will go above and beyond,
yes,
of reaching out, trying to give them more support, because the point isn't to make money. The point is to, you know, accomplish these goals and get information out into the world that it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love books and I'm interested in books and do a lot of different things around books, including with your clients, because of, I've always said, you know, the ideal job is to be able to learn, to get paid to learn, you know?
Yes.
So that's why I think this is the best job you could have, because we get to talk to people who are educating us just through the mere process of speaking with us and even giving us the information we need in order to help them. So that is like such a gift. And I think I feel so grateful for that. And that feeds into my desire to truly want to like serve and give them everything that we can, right? Because just in the interaction, they've now given me so much and I want to give them so much. So it's truly an exchange, you know? I feel like that's another thing, is there's this sense of an exchange versus you're my service provider and I'm, right? Like, there's none of that energy ever. And I think that's where you can get some nightmare clients, is when they kind of look at you that way, you know, of like, you work for me, lady. And there's never been any of that. It's been very much like gratitude and learning on both ends and being able to like shine in our expertise, and that allows us to let them shine in their expertise.
Mm-hmm. It's like a walking alongside journey, I feel,
mm-hmm,
like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like trust there,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it got me thinking as you were talking too about my own professional evolution. And like, I was just thinking back to when I started my business. I've talked about this on the podcast before, but you know, I was living in the Dominican Republic. We only had air conditioner in the bedroom. So I would like sit on our bed with my crazy kitten like attacking me from like pouncing on me, scratching my face. And I would like, you know, I'd work these long hours as a teacher. I was working like 60 to 70 hours a week. And then I would, you know, on the nights and weekends, I would start this new business that was like initially a complete failure. And I remember like just creating my first proposal and how scary that was. And I had a friend who had like government experience that like reviewed it for me. And I did have like, I can think of one particular pretty bad client really early on, mm-hmm. like in the first real year when I was working full time in my business. And I have had a lot of learning experiences, but I think what has let me today feel so, I think like when I talk to somebody and I tell them that we're not a good fit, or I tell them I think we are a good fit, I feel so confident and anchored in the fact that like we are going to help them be successful in writing their book, whether it's, you know, through ghostwriting or it's through consulting or it's through coaching or through a coaching program. Like I feel so confident mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's time that's proven over working on so many books and seeing so many people be successful. But I think it's also like growing up, you know, because mm-hmm. I was 24 when I started my business. Yeah, 23 or 24. And I was like learning to my expertise as I was building my business. Whereas like a lot of people I know, they'll start their business when they're already experts. So I was like, it was like a journey. It was a lot to develop. And just where we are today, it just feels so stable. It feels so joyful. I love our model of taking on a fewer number of people at a higher price point so that we can be like really there and not have to be overextended. And then I think just me as a person, I've let go of that. I mean, I'm still like a hustle mentality sometimes. I'll be honest. It's like, it's a constant struggle for me. Like this morning I woke up at 4 o'clock and I was like, I have so much to do. I should get out of bed. I'm like, no, Stacey, you have to sleep. And it's a struggle for me, but I've come so far in this like idea that I had to like kill myself at all times to build this business.
Yeah.
That's been a huge growth area for me. I'd love to hear from both of you. I mean, maybe I'll start with you, Catherine, because like we've known each other for a long time now and we've kind of grown together in our own, because you have a business as well as being on the team with me. Tell me a little bit about that for you, what that's been like and what you've realized over the years as you've developed as a professional business owner.
Oh man. I have to say like that. I think this is why being an entrepreneur is so fun because you and I both, and Rita too, like we're learners. And I think that is an absolute number one requirement to be an entrepreneur. Like whatever your path is, that's great. But I think that is essential to being an entrepreneur.
Right? And a problem solver too.
Yes, I think problem solving like for sure. Cool. Yeah, because there's no hand. I mean, there's handbooks out there claiming to know how to tell you what to do, but once you get into them, it's so customized, right? You have to have a customized solution. So I'm constantly learning, and to me, it's like it's my being an entrepreneur is in direct relationship to my growth as a human being, which I love that. I love that about it. But I currently live in the States, and that is a place where if you're not careful, that hustle mode, that work is everything mentality can just become how you are. And I'm someone who is particularly prone to that as well. Just I'm a workhorse. Like I love working. I love accomplishing things. I love to-do lists and checking things off. And, that is part of like why at this time in my life, I'm 33 and I'm exploring maybe some other options because I feel like I might do better overall as a person if I'm not in an environment that is emphasizing that and making that, you know, more, bringing that out in me. Cause you know, I went to school in New York and then kind of went a little off the deep end there in terms of just, it burnt me out, you know, and then I have to come back to Idaho and it's been a learning process of how to come back to that core of like, you know, work isn't everything and it shouldn't be everything, but you can have this relationship where it is definitely enriching your life. So that balance I think is so important. And I've been learning my biggest thing, and of course we're all different, but I need to be really excited about the clients that I work with. So if I'm looking at you as a client, right, which you are, you're my longest standing client. I'm excited to work with you. I'm passionate about it. I'm really looking forward to see where the business goes and grows and being a part of that and kind of, you know, laying the foundations for that over the years. So where I've landed, you know, just to go back a little bit to like the client conversation we were having, how that's kind of come through for me is I will not work on something if I am not fully lit up by it. And that I think is absolutely core, because I know there's this whole fake it till you make it like saying out there. And I think in some ways that can be helpful, but not like interactions need to be genuine. And so just doing something because you think you should, or, you know, it would be a good opportunity, that's not quite the same as being enthusiastic and truly lit up by it. So that's my big thing. That's now how I move through the world. Even if I have a client and I take a call with them, and if it doesn't, I mean, you mentioned fully aligned, that's another way of saying it. But, you know, I think as an entrepreneur, you learn what that kind of looks like in that call, in your body. What does that feel like? You know, we've talked so much about this, but that's a huge part of my path as an entrepreneur is being able to honor my body and what it needs. And, you know, like, you can't sit at the computer for 8 hours straight. You need to get up and what, there's all these small things that, I've just had to kind of shift into. So those are the biggest ones for me. It's always expanding and always growing, and, you know, talk to me in 2 weeks and I'll have another thing to tell them. So.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I always try to be mindful when I'm like, where you're at, I think is a very advanced stage of entrepreneur, like mindset advanced stage. And I know, like, I try to remind myself, like, in the early days when you're building a business, like, sometimes you just have to say yes to things.
True.
Like, you know, I think it's easy to look back and be like, oh, I would have done everything differently. But if I had, would I have what I have today, you know?
Yeah.
I think that I could have, rather than like 10 years to get to a certain mindset, it could have taken me like a year or 2 years if I had at least awareness that like where I was sitting was not good for my body and my mind. Like, I was overextending myself and I had a quicker end date where I'm like, I'm going to go fully in. I'm going to like do this thing. And then I have this mindset that like, I'm going to start scaling back and start, you know, being more selective. It just took me a long time to get
right to
where, like, I think we both are today. And then Rita, I'd love to hear some of your perspective on this, because you mentioned a little of your backstory in hospitality. I wonder if you'd share a little bit about your own transition into the work that you're doing today, and then like kind of where you're going and how much has changed for you just in the last, you know, however long. I think it's a really cool journey and really inspiring. And I'd love for you to just tell our viewers and listeners a little bit more about it.
So it kind of all started when I moved to the UK about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And I was there for a few years. I ended up working in hospitality because it was just the easiest way, you know, to get into something, to learn the language. And I loved it. Like, I am a people person. So it was great to have that, you know, as a work to get to talk to people every day and just like, kind of what you were saying, the working horse, you know, just like always being there and like always trying to, you know, do better. And but it got to a point that, again, like when you start listening to your body and growing up, you're like, okay, this is, you know, this is not where I envision my life going. Because for anyone that's worked hospitality, it's like terrible hours, like you're on your feet a lot, you don't have schedules really for sleeping, eating, like
you smell like food all the time.
Exactly. You don't really have social life because you end up just being very secluded with that, you know, with the people that you're working with.
Right.
And I was studying full time at the time as well. And, you know, I was 18, 19, and I was basically like fully independent. So I had to work full time and I had to study full time. So it was kind of tough and it was kind of hard, but I'm really glad that I went through that because it brought me to where I am today. Going back to what you were saying, yes, it could have taken you like a year or two to figure out what took you 10, but would you be where you are now?
Yeah.
Would it, you know? And I do that I do that. I have those thoughts a lot of like, okay, how would it have been if I didn't have to go through that, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, ended up coming back to Portugal, carried on hospitality. It was all I knew. And when I go, after COVID, I was like, right.
Yeah.
Things got to change. It was really tough. Like, I think for the service industry in general, it was really tough times. And for me, it just wasn't aligning with what I wanted anymore and how I envisioned my life going. So that's when I quit and did a project management course, thinking that I'm going to be a project manager, because at this point I was managing restaurants and I thought, oh, this is a great way to transition. And then got the job with you as a personal assistant, and just naturally, you know, with my creative eye and like just started giving certain tips, and, you know, you gave me the opportunity to like, okay, if you want to take this thing, like social media, like go ahead, like yeah. just try it
I
out,
think I was
you know?
Like, go ahead. I was like, please read that. Yeah, someone needs to take it.
Please. And I was like, okay, sure. And I think just naturally the last year and a half working with both of you, it's been like probably the most that I've grown in my whole life in terms of like professionally and personally. It's been such a wonderful journey, again, with the clients as well, that inspiration of just wanting to be better and achieving better and just being in sync with what is important for you as a person as well, makes a lot of sense. So with all of that, I decided to go back to school and just study graphic design, which is what I wanted to do 10 years ago. And, you know, unfortunately, life didn't lead me that way. But again, I am where I need to be right now. And I'm just, yeah, super excited for what the future will bring.
Yes. And I think sometimes when it takes, you know, you said 10 years ago, that's what you wanted to do. It's been this dream that's been percolating. And now you're in a position to like, fully grasp it, fully dive in. Like, you know that you're going to soak up this entire thing,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Whereas I think sometimes if let's say 10 years ago or maybe 8 years ago you did it, like, it wouldn't have had the same depth to it, you know?
For sure. And my priorities were different, right?
And
you
have all this creative ideas and input that have come from your interactions with all these amazing people that you've got to meet through
right.
hospitality, right? And other artists that you meet because of that. So, yeah, I think it's beautiful. I capture life stories for a living as one of the things I do. So every time, you know, I think that that's – I think it enriches your journey,
yeah.
you know?
No, I'm just really grateful that, you know, landed working with you guys, and we've been working all this time together, and now we're here in person, and I don't know, it's just so exciting. And after the meeting we had yesterday of like strategizing and like what you were saying, building the foundations of like mm-hmm. where you want to take your business and how we're envisioning the brand and just being part of something like that, it's so cool. And it's like you said, it lights you up, you know?
Yes.
You feel alive and you're just
yeah.
like, this is awesome. And yeah, because it will help like inspiring others. And yeah.
Yes.
It's our mission.
Yes. I think that comes to a point that I wanted to ask you, Stacey, if I take the floor
back. Okay. Ask away.
Which is, you know, I think when Rita and I met, we kind of course, reflected on this experience we've had with you and working with you. And we were thinking like, gosh, it's so cool because we're in similar positions where when we started working with you, we weren't maybe as experienced and had like the background or the title or maybe even the specific qualification someone may have been looking for the work that we're now in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious if you would speak a little bit about like how you look at bringing on team members, because it seems like you have a very unique mindset in what you look for in people that you want on your team.
Oh, that's such a good question. Actually, it made me think of like the person that I learned from. So I don't know. There's a woman named Jennifer Wheeler. I don't know if you guys have seen communication with her at some point. But she gave me my first opportunity in writing. And the job required, so for, I'm going to nerd for a second, but I had to know AP style. So Associated Press style. So that's what they use for anybody who's unfamiliar, for like the New York Times or like any kind of press media. And I was in college, so I thought it meant APA style, which is American Psychological Association mm-hmm. style, which is an academic. Anyway, very nerdy. But I told her that I like had this experience with the style guide, and I had not ever opened the style guide. Not lying, but I was confused. And when I got, and then I realized my error, and between realizing my error and going to the interview, I had gone to the library, I'd researched the style guide, I'd familiarized myself with it. I'd done enough that I was like, I can totally do this. I can learn this, no problem. And even though I didn't have like one of the key qualifications for that job, she hired me because of the problem solving and because I was a learner, and she saw that in me. And she gave me an opportunity. It was my first magazine I'd ever written for. I had an internship at the University and the Alumni magazine. I wrote the obituaries for a while. Yes, but I actually had the honor of writing my professor's obituary, who passed away in a house fire. So it kind of like led me to that. And she taught me that you can teach like most skills. You can, but actually, like, the person should be also willing to teach themselves and like problem solve. And then I think also there's like a personality piece to it that is just like a warmth and a like connectedness. And I think you kind of get that right away. And when I met both of you guys, I was super impressed with, I mean, I remember we met in Eagle, I think. Was it Eagle? No. It was
your office.
It was in Boise. My office. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. I had an office in Boise that I rented. It was like, in America, they have these like, and maybe they have this in other cities in Portugal, but they have these big buildings and you can rent like an office, and then they have a shared room, but it's not like a WeWork. It's like a boring office.
Right. Yeah.
They're not cute. They're not cute. But I rented the like, really like kind of like corporate conference room, and we had a big long table and we like sat at one corner. And interestingly, I had interviewed somebody else at the time, which was an assistant job, right? Who I knew really well. She's really smart, and I think she kind of assumed she was going to get the job because I'd known her for a really long time. And even though it would have made a lot of sense to go with her because she'd had experience and she had like really good personality and I'd known her for a long time, I just remember like ending our conversation and being like, that is a really intelligent person. Like she is clearly very driven, and you had demonstrated that through just like some of the pursuits that you had professionally. You didn't go into detail in our first conversation, but I knew that you had overcome some things in your life that were very inspiring to me, and that you had like risen and like grown from it, which I can relate to myself. And then I think also you're very articulate. Like your like written voice is incredible, and I was looking for that. So that was like initially, I think. And then I think just over time, it's been a long time now, but just continue to see you, like if we don't know, like if we have something on the team that we don't know how to do, I don't have to be like, here, let me send you the help article on it, which like surprisingly is a lot of how people function. It's kind of shocking to me, but it's like, just Google it first and like try to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, I probably still don't know the answer. So like find somebody else to ask.
Right.
But you've never, like, you've always just been like, I'm going to find the answer. And if I can't find it, I'm going to like get on chat and I'm going to get help. And I'm going, and then you're constantly like, I've never met anybody who takes more education courses.
It's a problem.
It's always something that you're learning. And it's random stuff too. Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, but it's cool. It's like, it's just like so random, but you're just such a learner. And so to me, that was like super impressive. And it's been the continued thing. And with you, Rita, it was really similar actually, because, you were referred by a close friend of mine, and he, first of all, like, I've never heard anybody rave about somebody as much as they raved about you. This person raved about you. And I think, like, at the time we met, correct me if I'm wrong, but you'd been applying for different things for a while. And you didn't really put a lot of effort into my, I don't think you wrote a cover letter. I think you just clicked, like, the LinkedIn thing.
I think I did add a cover letter, and I added, because I was doing that for, like,
but I think it was pretty like basic, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't like
I didn't apply through the email.
You didn't follow the directions on my application.
I just like applied through LinkedIn. Yes. And yeah, I was.
Because you were burnt out.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point, it's like, almost 6 months.
Yeah.
And I was like, this, and it was literally the last job I applied. And I was like, right, if this doesn't work, I'm going to go back to hospitality.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And figure out something else. And then it came through. And I was like, oh.
I feel really lucky that our mutual friend, like, raved about you so much, because I had this vetting criteria on the application that was like, if this person does not follow this criteria, I will not interview them. But where you were, I totally get that. Like, I would have done the same thing, just like, okay, check. I'll try to just spread and see what hits. But then when I met you, I think was our first, we had a virtual one first.
Yes, we did.
We met at a little coffee shop in town, and it was kind of the same thing. Like, I was really impressed by the fact that you quit your job. You signed up for this project management certificate. Like, you actually did this, like, program, right, to learn a new skill.
Yeah.
You put it all on the line to change direction. I think that's incredibly courageous. And, like, most people would not do that because it's really risky. Like, that was kind of a dangerous thing to do, right? Like, just to quit and, like, I mean, it wasn't like you didn't have a plan. You had a plan. You knew what you were going to do. But then, like, the more you talked, and something that I learned that was new for me is that actually, like, I think that hospitality is an amazing training ground.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I actually, like, now we're moving you into a new role and we're looking for a new assistant. Like, I'm actually more interested in people that were in hospitality because there's so much that you have to learn, and, like, the people aspect of it and, like, multitasking and, like, organization and just all of it. I didn't know that though at the time. That was something I learned. But then once we got into it, and I would give you little, like, I mean, I knew they were little tester projects. I'd give you little, like, tester projects at first. And, like, at first we just kind of got into the role, and then I'd give you these little tester projects, and you always, like, completely, like, blew it out of the water. And then I remember I brought you in on a client call once, and I was just bringing you in to, like, give some tips, and you put together, like, a full presentation. You had gone through their social media profiles. You had specific tips for them. And I just remember thinking, like, you can't train this. This is like, a person who's driven, a person who cares. And I just am, I feel really grateful that, like, I'm glad those 6 months happened, because, like, we wouldn't have you.
I know.
And I think Catherine was really glad to get a bunch of things off her plate too. She was like,
it was over the social media.
She's like, take it, please. So, yeah, it's been a pretty amazing journey. And just, like, the team, getting a team atmosphere, which is new for me. It's been something I've been growing into, learning not to, like, micromanage things or, like, really develop systems so I can let go of things and not have to just be the person that does it from first word to publication, and really just being able to free up some space and time. So
yeah. It's been an amazing journey for sure. And it's been a pleasure to work with both of you.
Yeah, I love that question. I feel like I just talked for, like, 20 minutes about it.
But, I love it. Yeah. I mean, like, just reflect back, and I think it's, like, useful for anyone who maybe is there right now, an entrepreneur who's shifting into being more business owner and having a team. I think you hit on qualities, observed qualities in us that are so key to having a team. You know, I hear a lot of, some places have, like, really high turnover, and that's fine. And fire fast is definitely a good, I think, philosophy when you're an entrepreneur. But I think you just hit on a lot of things that are important for a business owner to be looking for in a person who the other thing that you have is that you want people to grow. Right. There, you're bringing someone in, and it's like this assistant position. It's like phase one and then phase two, phase three. Right. And then you
can't keep it filled.
And, you know, God bless you for that, because then we get to, like, thrive and grow as people. But, and I think you'll find someone who, like, will naturally fit in there. But I think you really want people to be doing what they're meant to be doing and what they're good at.
Yeah.
Zone of genius, this idea of zone of genius, like, you want to be in your zone of genius. And you know the way to do that is to have other people in their zone of genius. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're really good at identifying that and being like, okay, you go here. It's like you're putting together a puzzle, you know, mm-hmm. to make sure that the image comes through. And you've done that really well with me and then Rita. And I know that you have a good eye and good judge of character and seeing, okay, these people are going to work well in these spaces. And it's been really great because that's how we have this going.
For me, it's like just, you know, pushing me to like, you know, like, oh, Rita, by the way, if you do want to learn something new, tell me, because I would love to like support you on that. And just like knowing that, being like, oh, like this person doesn't just want me to, you know, what you were saying before, getting paid to learn, you know, mm-hmm. it's amazing. And just, yeah, for me, that was like huge, to just like having that motivation to keep learning and like, you know, like learning about ads and like SEO and like, It started as an assisting job, and all of a sudden it's like there's so many different hats and so many different things, and it's so amazing to just like keep your brain constantly like learning something new and like improving ourselves. You're awesome at it. I love it.
Aww, guys, before I start crying, it's so good to have you both here, and thanks for your time and energy. We're on athleisure today because we're about to go to Sagres together for a fun day, get some gelato after, and just kind of enjoy our time together today. So I'm really excited for that and just grateful. Thank you for being here.
Yes, it's been a dream. It's been a total dream.
Whoa.
I know.
Oh.
Yay.
I love you guys. I'm so grateful to have you just in my life and on the team. And thank you for joining our Love Fest today. this is a really special episode, as I said. Like, I don't know when we'll get an opportunity to record another one in the future.
Hopefully sooner than
Hopefully we can get this lady here and we can.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, Robin and Kim at some point.
We got to get
to see Robin in Zurich. So maybe next time she'll come here and we can get Kim out at some point. That would be pretty cool to have everybody together. But thank you for joining us, and I will be back with you before you know it.
You can always access show notes, including any links mentioned in this episode, at stacyennis.com/podcast. And you can connect with me at stacyennis.com, on Instagram at stacyennis, or on Facebook at stacyenniscreative. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Here's to building lives that are beyond better.